For a lot of Americans, it's very frustrating to hear that President Trump was indicted for having classified documents at his home because Joe Biden, the president of the United States, had classified documents at his home, at his offices, 1,800 boxes of classified documents, yet there won't be an indictment. When President Trump does it, it's obstruction of justice. But when Hillary Clinton does it, well, you know, that was then, and why are you living in the past? And then we're told that the institutions have to be upheld when the institutions themselves clearly have not been engaged in the idea that no one is above the law. Guys, good to be with you. I'm Tony Katz. Welcome to the show, presented by Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org, economic liberty, free speech. That is what it's all about. I bring in the expert, William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. I said to you before we started, there is no level, there is absolutely no level of wonkiness that we can't get into, because what we have to understand is what these DOJ charges are about and why they would be different in the case of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden versus Mike Pence. And then add on top of all of that, we learn about the whole FBI handing over that document, the FD-1023, which seems to show some connections to Burisma and payouts. And on that day, that's when we see the indictment. But let's start with the basics. What is this indictment on President Trump? What is it that the DOJ is saying?
Well, we don't know for sure. That's the short answer. We know what Trump's attorney has said he believes is in the indictment. And there are multiple counts of obstruction of justice. There are other things that are related to his not just possession of documents, but what happened with the documents, the failure to turn them over to the Department of Justice when requested to do so. Allegedly, we suspect the charge will be lying about what was turned over, hiding documents from them. So this case is, and you know me, I'm no fan of Joe Biden, but it's not quite the same as the Joe Biden or Mike Pence cases, if it is the charges are what we think, which are obstruction of justice, not the mere possession of the documents.
So obstruction of justice is supposedly one of these charges, and the other one is allegedly conspiracy. But how is it an obstruction of justice charge against President Trump for having the documents when the archives knew he had the documents, as we have been told and they've admitted to, and a lock was actually put on the door where the documents were put on by the Secret Service? It seems hard to get our arms around the idea of obstruction of justice when Trump was working with those who wanted access back to those documents.
Well, again, we don't know what the factual basis for the charges will be, but I suspect it's not the mere possession of the documents that they're viewing as the obstruction of justice. It would be the interactions with the Department of Justice and with the FBI regarding the documents and what was done with the documents. So I don't think, you know, again, as much as I'm a critic of Joe Biden and the double standard that absolutely applies, they're not quite the same cases if the obstruction of justice is not the possession of the documents, but what was done with them after the FBI requested their return.
The whole after, and you have the story, by the way, at LegalInsurrection.com, Trump indicted in Mar-a-Lago case. Everybody should check out LegalInsurrection.com. What was done afterwards? They weren't posted online. They weren't in the possible possession of a drug-addled son, as Hunter Biden was staying at the house in Delaware where classified documents were in the garage hanging out by the Corvette. So what is the argument here? What possibly could have been done?
Well, we don't know, and that's part of the problem. The only thing we know about the indictment, frankly, is what has come from Trump on Truth Social, which is simply that he was told he's going to be indicted, and what his lawyer, trustee, has said on TV. We don't have the actual document, so everybody's speculating now what it will be, and I think that's, you know, part of the problem. Based on what trustee said and what others have reported based on leaks, which may or may not be accurate, the classification of the documents is not part of the criminal charge. So again, that's another thing that distinguishes this case. They're saying that it was, again, an obstruction of justice, lying to the FBI, perhaps moving the documents to try to conceal them. Again, we don't know, but that's what's being reported. And that's a very different case than the mere possession of classified. And I know people don't want to hear that, okay? And it is absolutely true that the DOJ has been corrupt in its pursuit of Donald Trump. I mean, the federal government's law enforcement bureaucracy should not be targeting an individual and then looking for a crime that was committed.
Absolutely. We should not be in the world of Beria. And for the record, I'm not asking you to tell me what I want to hear, sir. That is not why I talk to you.
No, but I know, but I see what's on Twitter. I see what's out there. And two things can be true at the same time, which is that the DOJ and other prosecutors at state levels have been absolutely politically corrupt in their targeting of Donald Trump. It's despicable and should be condemned. But at the same time, it can be true that Donald Trump may have handed the feds what they wanted on a silver platter. If it is true that documents were moved, there were lies about it, and I'm not saying that's true, but if that's what's reported, if that's true, he may have handed them what they were looking for on a silver platter. And so two things can be true at the same time. And even if there is evidence of obstruction of justice, that doesn't lessen the fact that the feds have been in hot pursuit of Donald Trump really since 2016 with James Comey and the FBI trying to set him up and the Mueller investigation and everything. So two things are true or can be true depending what the facts end up showing.
Talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. And don't forget to check out the foundations that he has built there regarding critical race and how education reform is done. Check it all out at LegalInsurrection.com. It is absolutely possible in every single way. I don't disagree with you. But the conversation of 7 years... It's been 7 years of this clown show of going after Trump and hoping desperately that something sticks. But what people are bothered by is Biden had documents in his house. Pence had documents in his house. And I find all of it unacceptable. You're saying that the having of classified documents in one's home is not in and of itself the possibility or the probability here that the DOJ has moved forward. It's something that was done with the documents that is therefore the problem or the aha moment, the got 'em moment, however you want to describe it.
That's what it appears to be. Again, until we see the indictment, we don't know. But based on the comments from Trump's counsel, based on what's being reported, based on leaks by mainstream media, which may or may not be true, that appears to be the case, that it is not the mere possession of the classified documents. It may not even be the removal of them from the White House. It would be what was done with them after the FBI made the request for the return. And that's where I think this case is different. And people need to wake up to reality, okay? And people need to not stick their head in the sand. Back in March, I wrote at Legal Insurrection that put aside the Manhattan case, the Alvin Bragg case, which really is flimsy. That doesn't mean there won't be a conviction by a New York jury, but it's really flimsy and political. The Georgia investigation appears to be political. This obstruction of justice case was the risk to Trump, and it's the one people needed to worry about. And I was saying this back in March, and now it seems to be coming true that he may have given them just what they were looking for.
Now, it's very hard for people to accept this when it's very obvious that the Department of Justice has been desperately looking for something. You know, we discussed it just moments ago, and it's the idea of Leventry Beria, who ran the secret police, if you will, for I think it was Stalin. Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Is it possible for these charges to be looked at as nothing else other than retribution? Let's go for one more thing. And the idea that this would be the thing that you can hang your hat on, This guy, see, he actually did this one thing, which may or may not even be considered a big thing. This is going to fly with the American people. Now, that's a political question, not necessarily a legal question, but we should ask the legal part of that. If he moved the documents from here to there, that's serious jeopardy?
Well, I think that raises another issue, which is, while certainly nobody is above the law, it has huge political implications for the legitimacy of our government, the legitimacy of the Department of Justice. When you are targeting the chief political rival of the President of the United States. And that, I think, is really what's unseemly here, that to prosecute, I think, a major political candidate, you have to have a higher standard. That was what James Comey said about Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, from what's reported, did things a lot worse than anything Donald Trump is being accused of. I mean, she actually destroyed documents. Okay, and she maintained them on a server, a private server off government property. I mean, she did really bad things, and she could have been prosecuted.
Should have been.
James Comey made the decision that no reasonable prosecutor under the circumstances would bring the case. And part of that equation is, at the time, they were in the middle of a presidential campaign. And if you're going to take a major presidential candidate off the table for consideration by the voters, you have to have more than a technical legal offense. And now, if the evidence is that Donald Trump turned things over to foreign governments, that would put a very different light on it. Nobody said that so far. If there was an argument that somehow foreign entities got access to these documents at Mar-a-Lago, that would put a very different patina on this. But nobody has said that so far. No leaks have said that so far. So what they're doing is they're finding a technical legal crime. And as we know, I think there was a book written, I think it was, I forget who wrote it, you know, three crimes a day, that every person in this country probably violates three statutes at some point in the course of your normal life. And that's really the problem here. You're taking a major political candidate out of contention by trying to prosecute and imprison him on what amount to technical legal crimes, not any real damage to the nation.
And
that's the problem.
And I'm glad you brought it up that way, talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind legalinsurrection.com. And that's just it. We're playing in the world of technicalities. While we don't believe anybody is actually above the law, we certainly don't believe in this weaponization of the institutions. And we have people out there who are desperate to tell you that the institutions must be upheld. Jen Psaki and MSNBC went on a tear about that this morning, how important these institutions are, how Joe Biden is a man who believes in the law, and clearly Donald Trump is not. The institutions must be believed and upheld. This about Trump, which I hear what you're saying. We only know Trump's side of it. We haven't been able to read the actual documentation. But based on what Trump is saying, before we get a little bit further, do you think people are blowing this out of proportion? Do they have to wait to see the everything? Or is the indictment itself enough of a, oh, holy hell, what is this again?
Well, again, I think we need to wait to render a final judgment here, but it is extremely troubling given the history. This isn't something that just happened. Okay, this has been, like you said, 7 years in the making. This has been a 7-year hunt to get Donald Trump. Given that, and given that we're in campaign season, I think it is legitimate to criticize this even before seeing the indictment. Now, people's minds may change. If there's something really shocking in the indictment that we don't know about, I mean, it's hard to believe it wouldn't have been leaked already to the New York Times.
Right.
But unless there's something shocking there, unless there's something showing real actual damage to the nation, unless there's something showing that secrets of the United States somehow got into the hands of our enemies, if there's nothing there beyond a technical process crime, I think people have to question, why is the federal government trying to interfere in our electoral process?
The other part is that where they're going to question is they're going to question the timing, because it was the House Oversight Committee, because of the pushing by Republican James Comer, they were able to get access to the FD-1023, this FBI form that basically documents the investigation that took place. A confidential source, a confidential informant, high level, who stated that, well, exactly what the whistleblower said, this was a possible bribery scheme, that Burisma was giving $5 million to Hunter Biden, $5 million to Joe Biden to get things done regarding a Ukrainian prosecutor while Hunter Biden was at Burisma. The only reason Hunter was at Burisma was to be able to get access to Joe Biden. And it was about trying to move this prosecutor out who was looking into Burisma, this energy company out of Ukraine, looking into their business dealings. On the day that they get to see the document, and damning commentary from Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, damning commentary from Secretary McCarthy and others, that's when the indictment comes out. The 1023 isn't enough to say Joe Biden is guilty, but is the 1023 enough to say why hasn't there been a full-scale investigation into what the hell has happened here?
Well, yes, I think there is. I mean, again, this gets back to the double standard thing, that if, can you imagine if it was the Trump family doing with the Biden family, there would have been multiple prosecutions by now, multiple investigations, daily leaks to the press, some made up, some not made up. So there's no question there's a double standard. But when you know that you're a target of this malicious prosecutorial hunt, you need to be super careful. You need to be super careful. That doesn't justify it. That doesn't mean it's okay. But that is the reality that we live in. When, you know, this was what happened during the Tea Party years, the Obama years, where the IRS was targeting Tea Party groups with regard to their, you know, nonprofit status. You just need to be super careful. And we need to seriously examine what has happened with our federal law enforcement institutions, that they have become political tools.
William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, I know you're up against it. I'm going to let you go. Legalinsurrection.com. Be sure to check him out right there. His point's very well taken, that for those of us on the political right, you have to be, you know, aware and you have to be careful. The problem is, why is it that only we have to be careful? Do I think you're allowed to break the law? No, I don't. And I don't think that Trump is or Biden is. But if we're going to play the game that only one of them is subject to the law and the other one somehow, amazingly, stunningly, we look the other way, how can anybody be okay with this? And what you are witnessing already, if you want to argue that there has been some irrational response from the political right in defense of this, you have to take a look at the response from the political left being thrilled about this. And when I say thrilled about this, I have Anna Navarro cheering this thing. Anna Navarro was out there saying, I'm gleeful that Trump will be indicted. Why? If it's about classified documents, you would then want Biden to be indicted and you'd also be cheerful. But you're not, because, again, the standard doesn't work the same way. How does one run a country? How does one operate a country? How does a country thrive, move forward, if we don't say in one breath, yeah, this is wrong? And the answer is because that's not what we're all looking for. And what we're seeing again and again and again, as William Jacobson is pointing out, this is another bite at the apple, another bite at the apple, another bite at the apple, just hoping they can get him on something. It's not the way the country should work. Because yes, if you were to look at anybody long enough, you'll find something. That's why Beria said the words, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And that's what the left has gone out to do. This isn't a debatable subject, although people are more than welcome to debate it. This is what the left has set out to do with Donald Trump. Whether you like Trump or not is totally inconsequential. Whether you think he was a good president or not, who actually cares? We're talking about the reality of what has happened here. What has been done? And what has been done is this willingness, this desire to get the guy with foaming at the mouth and losing all control of your faculties, that anything will work. Any manipulation will work, just like the Alvin Bragg manipulation of the Stormy Daniels payments. This is a clerical error. This isn't a felony. Oh, let's make it a felony. Is it possible that Trump knew that he had the documents and people said, or some government official said, don't move it from here to there, and he moved it from here to there, and that's the aha moment? It's possible, but it's not practical. It's not rational. It's not rational when we don't know who went to Joe Biden's summer home in Delaware and had access to the garage where the classified documents were hanging out. And maybe Hunter, in some level of drug-fueled rage, was selling them to the highest bidder. Why? That's not possible. Of course it's possible. And you would, if Eric or Donald Trump Jr. had a drug issue like Hunter Biden, that's all you would hear from MSNBC. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. I think you should not make fun of a guy for having a drug problem. I think you have to recognize what is possible when you've already seen the shady business dealings of Hunter Biden. This is what has America sick. And this is not a way to run a country. The country cannot survive like this. It can't move forward. There's nothing there. And to the idea that I have to have faith in the institutions? Are you mad? I should have faith in an FBI led by James Comey, who didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton. A James Comey who was absolutely working against the duly elected president of the United States. Andrew McCabe, who got fired for lying to other FBI agents. Peter Strzok, who saw himself as some kind of insurance policy against the duly elected president of the United States. I should trust these people. I should trust the DOJ that refers to parents who are standing up for their kids as domestic terrorists. That's impossible to do. And that's what's not happening. Now, I do believe that if you lose faith in the institutions, how in the world do you possibly grow the country? It's a solid question. It's an important question, and one that I don't have an answer to except to say you don't. You can't. It can't be done. But the people right now who are telling you, you have to listen to the institutions, our vaunted institutions, they have to be respected. What have they done to earn our respect? The IRS? Let's go back to the Tea Party and Lois Lerner and keeping people from engaging free speech, a scandal that happened under Barack Obama. Never forget it. I'm supposed to respect these people, trust these people? Not a shot. The FBI, no shot. The DOJ, no shot. The CIA, no shot. The CDC, there's no way to have faith. There are no institutions to have faith in. And when we're told no one's above the law, and then all of a sudden we see that some people are above the law, it gets worse from here. Which is why I favor two very important things. Number one, winning. Winning elections. You can tell me about stolen elections from now until the end of time. You actually have to vote and you have to do it like they do. They ballot harvest, you ballot harvest. They do those ballot corrections. You do the same thing. There's a specific term for it, and I'm forgetting it right now. They drive people to the polling place. You drive people to the polling place. If it's legal, you do it. And we may not like these things, but you do all of these things over and over and again. You give the left no advantage whatsoever. And then... And something that I'm pretty disgusted with my members of Congress with here in Indiana, you know, I'm based out of Indianapolis, and I was discussing this on my morning show today. Why is Adam Schiff still on a committee? Why is Adam Schiff still on a congressional committee? A guy who lied about Trump and Russia for 4 years. Throw him off the committees. He gets no committee assignments. You're in power, Republicans. You might not be able to figure out how to create a debt limit deal, but this you can do. You did it to Ilhan Omar, throw him off all committees. When Cori Bush says that Republicans just want to go back to engaging slavery and push white supremacist ideas, you throw her off every committee. Things will not get better until everybody understands that the rules can go both ways and everybody's willing to play tough. Once the left understands this, maybe they'll calm down. But the left is so used to being able to get away with anything they want, and the political right just sits there with their thumb, well, wherever thumbs go. They just keep doing it and keep punching and keep hitting and keep fighting and keep attacking and doing the whole thing. And it has to stop. And it will only stop when they feel the pain. No one who lied to the country for 4 years about Trump and collusion with Russia lied actively work to divide the country can be trusted on a committee ever again. It's not retribution. It's rational. Someone who sits there and calls half the country white supremacists isn't interested in bringing a country together. They're interested in division. What they say privately is what they say privately. What they say publicly is what they say publicly. But what they say as a member of Congress can get you kicked off committees. No committees for Representative Cori Bush. Until I see Republicans actually willing to fight, I'm going to be infuriated. And if Americans are willing to accept this double standard, then Americans are willing to accept a lot of horrific things that will mean no good things for them in their future. That's where we're at. There's no trust in the institutions. There's no faith to be had because they haven't earned it. And they're proud of not earning it. Not only are they proud of not earning it, they are desperate to not earn it. Because in their view, you, who may be on the political right or in the political middle or just not on the political left, you, to them, are the one who shouldn't have a say in anything. You shouldn't get a say at all. That's what they're telling you. Trump shouldn't get a fair shake at all. Trump should be victimized until we can find a way to stop him. You guys know that I'm not never Trump and I'm not only Trump. If Trump's the nominee, I'll vote for him. Somebody else's the nominee, I'll vote for them. Me, I want to win. I like winning, personally. That's kind of like my thing. But anybody who's okay with this is out of their head. Technicalities on technicalities on technicalities so we can finally say, or they can finally say, we got them. That's not a country. That's a banana republic. Win elections, make sure they learn their lesson, keep the elections fair, and then let's get back to being a republic. That's my plan. Guys, I appreciate you being here very much. Can't thank you enough. And my thanks to Americans for Prosperity for being our sponsor, AmericansForProsperity.org, economic liberty and free speech. That is where it's at. I will catch you maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow, everyone. Take care.